with you this morning. Let me get this turned on. There it is. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that we can be here this morning again. Father, just to gather with believers and knowing we have something in common, that is our love for you and your spirit living in us, Father. Lord, I just pray that you would come now, Lord. We've tried to create an atmosphere where you would feel welcome, Lord, and we feel that this is the case right now. So if you would come now, Lord, just speak to each heart, Lord. Everyone here has need. Everyone here has questions. Everyone here has something to seek you about. And yet, with all that, we still have faith and we still have confidence that you will meet those needs. And if we will just wait for you, you said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, Lord. And so this morning, we ask that you would renew our strength. Open your word to us, Lord Jesus. And Father, help me to never say anything that would be a stumbling block to anyone, anything that would be out of the way, but just as you would have it said. We believe this, Lord Jesus. And then we ask this, amen. If you want to read, we're going to read one scripture here and be seated. Hebrews 12:27. You can have a seat. Hope everyone's doing wonderful. I was at the park this morning just studying. I didn't want to leave. It was so nice out there, just beautiful. My goodness. Great time of year, isn't it? Hebrews 12:27, it says, "And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." You may be seated. I also want to read out of Matthew 11:25, and I'll just read that quickly. It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of the Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." This morning I want to ask you a question, and it goes hand in hand with the last time I spoke about the secret and the play, and this kind of takes up from there. But I want to ask you the question, what is your absolute? What is your foundation? What is your faith based on? Why do you sit here this morning? What is the thing that keeps bringing you to church, keeps having you serve the Lord? There's got to be something, there's got to be some reason, something that our faith is based on. So I'm going to ask you this morning, what is it? All right? And I'm not going to try to shake your faith this morning. I'm not going to try to do that, but I'm going to say this, that whatever can be shaken shall be shaken. And if you have anything right now in your life that needs to be shaken, I'm specifically talking about religion, it needs to be shaken off now. Amen. Anything that we have our confidence in the wrong thing, we need to get rid of it now, because it's going to make you weaker, and you got to have a solid foundation knowing where you stand, because Satan's going to bring things against us that's going to make the things we've gone through so far look like a tea party, because he got so much stuff to throw against you and he's just waiting for the right time to knock you over on your heels. All right? So that's kind of where we're looking at this morning. So we're going to look at what in John 5:30, we're going to look at what Jesus said his absolute was. You never think of him having an absolute? I didn't either until a couple hours ago. Jesus says this in John 5:30. He said, "I can't of my own self do nothing." Jesus, the man, could do nothing. "As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." We need to have that same approach. It's not what I want. It's not the things that I want to do. But what does Father want me to do? You come into a mature Christian then. He said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." Isn't that exciting? He said, even if I, as Jesus, the Son of God, if I bear witness of myself, it's not true. Because I can say anything about myself. And brother and sister, you and I, we can bear witness of ourselves. Well, I'm a believer. Well, I have the Holy Ghost, and you're bearing witness of yourself, but that may or may not be true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. We got to have someone else bear witness and identify who you are, not just your own mouth. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. What was John witnessing to the truth? There is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That was his witness, right? Jesus was the truth, and John bare witness of him. That was his ministry. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. So he said, but I don't receive testimony of man. Isn't that amazing? I have greater witness than that of John. What's he saying? He's saying, it was good. John did what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to point me out. He was supposed to identify me as the Lamb of God, and yet I have a greater witness than just John telling me who I am. Friends, we got to have the same thing. It's got to be more than just a person telling you who you are. Just more than your witness to say, well, I believe the message. We got to have a greater witness because Jesus said he needed one. How much more do we need one? For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Oh, now we get down to our life. Well, the works you do bear witness of who you are. The works that you do tell if you're a believer or not. Tell if you're a Christian or not. And I'm not talking about just being religious. I'm going to hit that so many times today about people just being religious and testifying to themselves. Well, see what I do. See how I take care of this. Look how good I live. That's not the witness that you need. You need to have someone else bearing witness that the works you do are the works of God. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. There's your witness. There is your absolute. That's what you need to base your faith on, because God identifies who you are. Not yourself identifying who you are, but God says, you are my son. I love you. I'm pleased to dwell in you. This is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm pleased to dwell. He has to witness, because as soon as John said, here he is, the Lamb of God, what happened? He baptized him, and immediately God came and said, this is my son. And so the witness from God was greater than the witness of John the Baptist. Look what happened with John the Baptist. He was a messenger of the hour. He had the message of the day. And he said, this is the truth. This is Christ. I'm pointing you to Christ. And a few months later, he turns around and said, are you really him? Now, what if Jesus, his absolute was because the prophet of the age told me who I was? And then all of a sudden he sent someone else and said, now, are you really him? Now, if that was Jesus' absolute, he would think, you said I was. Am I not? Where's your absolute? Who told you who you are? Did a preacher tell you who you are? Did Brother Branham tell you who you are? Or did God tell you who you are? Can you imagine if you were a message believer in that day? And the prophet of your day said, there he is, there's the Christ, follow him. Okay, I'm going to follow this Jesus. And a little while later, the same prophet sends some disciples to say, Jesus, now, are you really him? What's going to happen to your faith? Well, do I believe the prophet or not? Well, he's contradicting himself. The prophet of the age seems like he is contradicting himself. Do I question him now? Do I wonder if he was really the prophet? Maybe John was false because his message changed. Now, where's your absolute? See, if your absolute was in the man, John the Baptist, you'd have been shaken. Jesus himself would have been shaken. See, because I believe what the prophet said, and now he's questioning what he said. Brother Branham says this.
The only way that you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you. Nothing else counts. The only way for you to be a Christian is for Christ, the Holy Spirit, to live through you and manifest himself and identify that you are a Christian because the works that you do is me doing them through you. That's the way that Jesus said that was his witness. That's the same witness that we must have. Our confidence, our absolute, is because the word that I have heard that's been revealed to me is actually living itself out. Otherwise, all that we hear is just an education, and we have a theological approach to being a Christian. Let me give you an example. I'm going to make this up, okay? Two brothers in church. Brother Bob sitting here, Brother Andy sitting here. Don't think about the names, I'm just making these up. Brother Bob is a preacher, and he has a great gift to go into the Word and put the quotes together and scripture together, and he can explain the Godhead better than anyone you ever heard, and the crowd just sits there mesmerized as he's preaching. He said, oh my goodness, I never seen the Godhead explained so clearly. Brother Andy can barely read. He can't, you know, he reads the Bible, he don't really get it too much. He listens to the preaching and he believes it. But he hears the voice of God speaking to him, because the difference is Brother Andy is born again and Brother Bob isn't. And Brother Andy hears the voice of God speaking to him, and he receives it. Even if it chastens him, he receives it. If it's encouraging him, he receives it. And God says, I love you, he receives it. And he's over there, and you say, Brother Andy, can you explain the Godhead? He says, I don't really know. I can't really do it very well. You know, I believe there's one God, and I'm just trying to serve God with all my heart. And you go to Brother Bob, can you explain it? And he can give you a three-hour discourse on the Godhead. But Brother Andy is living the Godhead. He's expressing it in flesh in this day. Brother Bob is just a lukewarm Christian. Now, who would you rather be? Where's your absolute? Well, I believe the message of the hour, Brother Phil. I believe everything that Brother Branham said, and I can put it together. I can explain it. Your absolute is shaky. Because if you lose confidence in the messenger, what are you going to do? You're going to be gone. The only way that you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you. We got a stinger there. I hope everybody on the taste gets that too. You say, I'm Pentecostal. That don't mean a thing. I'm a message believer. I believe every word Brother Branham said. That don't mean a thing. That's you witnessing to yourself. That's your own witness. And Jesus said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness isn't even true. Jesus said that about himself. Now, but we go around, as long as I claim to believe the message, I'm a believer. Oh, no, you're not. That don't mean a thing. It's Christ identified in you. That's when he has recognized you. Does he recognize you as a believer? Because once he does, he gives you the new birth. Till that, he hasn't given you that. He hasn't recognized you as a believer. That's a stinger too, isn't it? He said, I spoke in tongues. Devils do too. I shouted. The Mohammedans, Buddhists, everything shouts. The Indians scream at the snake dance. They all do. Cults and clans, everything else screams and hollers. They holler and shout at a baseball game. But when Christ is identified in you, identifying himself, then you are Christ-like. Then your works testify who you are. Jesus said, hey, look at, you know, search the scripture. You think in them you have eternal life. They testify of me. And the works that I do, they witness who I am. It means to be Christ-like. There's your identification. Another place he says, it's not expression of some church that we should express something. Listen to what he said. It's not the expression of some church that we should express something. Well, I go to Brother Jerry's church. I go to Brother Donnie's church. I go to Brother Joseph's church. And we, you know, I'm identified with the church, so I express what that church believes. That ain't it. You, the individual, that thing is a denominational mindset that people have. We all go to church. We all believe the same thing. And we all act the same. We all do that same thing. That's just feeling safe in a group. God don't want you to have your safety because you belong to a group. He wants your safety, your confidence, your absolute because you belong to him and you see him identifying you who you are. He tells you who you are. Satan ever tell you you're not a believer? I hope he does. If he doesn't, you got a problem. Satan never come and tell you, you're a believer. Just stay the way you are. You need to get something changed. God tells you you're a believer. He reveals it to you. It's got to be the revelation of the word, and your confidence is built on what's being revealed to you, what God is doing in your life. I'm going to get happy here in a second. Oh my. He says, it's a life that you don't live yourself, but he comes in and lives by himself. Hallelujah. It's not you trying to be a messianic believer. It's not you trying to live right. It's not you being a good person. It's not you being religious. It's something that comes inside and takes over, and you recognize this ain't me to begin with. I didn't choose him. He chose me, and he ordained me to bring fruit, and that fruit will remain. That's because the Holy Spirit doesn't take you in and out. It takes you and seals you in for eternity. It's forever. This is his work. It's him identifying himself. It's not your strength. It's not what you can do. It's your absolute as I know what God is doing in me. You hear that voice within the voice. You hear something that's greater. It's not just Philip here being anointed in his preaching, but you hear that still small voice come and say, hey, I'm talking to you right now. Let me give you an example of how this happened here in this church. I'll get personal with someone. I like picking on this man because he's my friend, and if he gets mad at me, he has to forgive me. So several years ago, Brother Jerry preached a message called Hatfield and McCoys. Y'all remember it? It was a good sermon, wasn't it? I'm going to take three people sitting here. Two of us are real. One person's going to be imagination, right? So Brother Bob is here. I'm here, and Brother Jim is here. I sit and listen to that message, and I think, that was good. Remember he had the pictures up here on the slide and everything? And he was like, that man, that was good. He just did all that research and brought it together. It was excellent. I really liked that. And I walk out of here thinking, that was a good message. My goodness. Brother Jim's sitting there, and he's thinking, he's talking directly to me. What is that? He is recognizing the voice of God was calling him out and said, I'm talking to you, boy. Now, he had two options. He can either say, well, get mind your own business, Brother Jerry. That's my family. Or he could take the approach he did. He said, he's talking about me, and I don't want to be that person anymore. That's to accept it. He didn't resist it. He said, I don't want to be him. He got up the next morning, and because he had that attitude, the Holy Spirit laid on his heart. He walked down. He went down to a coffee shop where his niece was down there. He walked in there. He walked back there, and she turned white as a ghost because they were not friends. And he said something like this. He says, hey, listen, I love you. I don't want to have any problems with this. Let's just get along or something like that. It changed the whole trajectory of that family right there. Nothing has ever been the same. Now, there's been problems and all that, but nothing has been the same since that time because he accepted that. That was the voice of God speaking to him, and he went and did what the Holy Spirit led him to do. And when he did that, when he said that, I love you, she knew it was true because his witness to her spirit that this is real. That's what I'm talking about. I heard the same message. I thought it was great. I enjoyed it, but God never spoke to me directly like he did to Brother Jim. Because this is an individual walk. This is something that God takes to you. He knows what you need individually. And so he speaks to you here. He speaks something else to you there. Speaks something else to that person. Because this is the way God runs his church. Brother Bob was also there. And Brother Bob knew a little. He had done a little research himself about Hatfield and McCoys. Because he's a very smart man. He sat there thinking, now, Brother Jerry, he said that happened in 1955. It actually happened in 1957, so he was wrong. And now he said this person said that, and that person didn't actually say that. This person said that, and then he exaggerated. There is only two people killed in that shootout, not four people. Brother Jerry was wrong. I can't have confidence in a minister who makes mistakes. They give the wrong date. They exaggerate. He contradicted himself that one time. I can't have confidence in that ministry. He walked out of here shaken in his confidence in Brother Jerry. Because it wasn't according to his theological mind the way you're supposed to put this together. And when brother and sister, when people take the message and they try to fit all the quotes together just right so everything makes sense, you will walk out of here insane. You can't do it, and it's done that way on purpose. So where is your confidence? Is it in the man, Jerry Browning? Is it in the message he preaches? Or is it the voice that speaks through the message and changes your life? That's where your confidence must be, friends. I don't care how much you agree or disagree with me right now. If God speaks to you, that's what matters. That's what you're held accountable for. I'm not accountable for things that God doesn't speak to me. That makes sense? I hope so. Let me give you an example. Seven thunders. I've said this before. I do not understand the theology or the doctrine of the seven thunders. You say, you're a preacher. You should know all these things. Be disappointed, because I don't. But you know what I do believe? I believe that I and you are absolutely expressing the revelation of those seven thunders sounding. I believe our lives are those thunders sounding out. How does that work? I don't know. I can't explain it. But we are the expression of that word. You say, is the seventh seal open? Well, look at your life and you tell me if it's open or not. You can explain it one way. You can explain it another way. But your life is a witness if the seventh seal is open or not. That's what I believe about it. Let me keep going. So where is your absolute? What's your confidence based in this morning? Sorry, I should have tore these pages out earlier. I'm going to read a quote I read from you last time. He said, now my subject this morning, I trust that God will reveal this. And each time, if you are to take the tapes and listen, I hope and trust that you have a spiritual understanding of what God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. It's a thing sometimes. We have to say things in such a way that it might thin down. It might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over. But that's done purposely. It must be done that way. So if the things are said that cause people to ponder, to question, to go out, to walk away, and God does that on purpose. Like I said last time, why? If someone wants to be saved, why not just save them? Why do you have to do it this way? It's his program. Let him do what he wants. As soon as you can create your first grain of sand, you can tell God what to do. He said, then it might come and someone say, you mean God would purposely do a thing like that? He certainly did, and he does yet. Later on in the same quote, just to save time, he says, Jesus said that to weed down his crowd till he could get his group together. What's he trying to do? Why not just have a church full of people here? Because everyone who comes with that theological or some other kind of spiritual, some spirit or religious spirit, they are a hindrance. Because every time we come in here with a different spirit, that spirit is a hindrance to what God is doing here. And religious spirits are the biggest hindrance because people think they're okay and they feel justified to question God. I'm not talking about questioning the man. I'm not questioning that. I'm talking about questioning what God is doing. So when you get discouraged with God, you ever get discouraged? Okay, I'll just be honest a little bit. I'm going to quit being honest after this. I feel a sense of frustration, a spirit of frustration coming on me sometimes. And it's like this heat. It's not something I feel, but like I'll be praying and I say, well, God, why don't, and the thoughts come, why don't you just do this? Why don't you just take care of this? What are you waiting on? Which is stupid. Don't ever pray that way. But it's just a feeling that comes, and Satan's trying to get me to feel that frustration or discouraged where this is going on and nothing seems to be happening, that's going on, and it just seems to be going on and on. And God's saying, do you not trust me anymore? Where is your confidence? Where is your absolute? Have I not revealed myself to you? Have I not brought you this far? Have I not proved to you that I got control of this situation? Those who can't humble themselves walk away. Jesus does these things to get rid of these spirits, get rid of all this religion that comes on us that we want to add to the message, to the revelation that we have, these things that need to be shaken off. Let's talk about this a little bit. John 6, y'all know what I'm talking about. Jesus is speaking. He has a great big crowd. He has like 70 ministers that he's ordained, message ministers. Big crowd of message believers. They're following the prophet of their day, Jesus Christ himself. And so he says, now unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. What's the initial thought that goes through someone's mind? Now we have thousands of years of lens to look back and know exactly what he's talking about. They didn't. And including the disciples, they did not understand what he was saying. That doesn't make sense. You got to be kidding. He's a freak. Oh my goodness, drink your blood? That's against the law. The law says you do not even drink the blood of animals. And now he said we're supposed to drink his blood. And we're not also supposed to eat each other. We're not supposed to be cannibals. This is against what our prophet Moses said. It's anti-scripture. And they had a perfect evidence to prove it. They had the evidence written right out there in the law. This is against the word of God, what he's preaching to you. Evidence to prove Jesus was wrong. He was against the word. Then he turns and he says, he said something else and it offended them more. And some of them walked away. He said, offended them more. He said, oh, what I'm saying, does that offend you? Well, let me tell you something else that's really going to get to you because I came from heaven. And there's a... We know your mom. We know your brothers and sisters. We fish with you. We go walk with you. We've seen you all. What do you mean you come from heaven? He's a liar. He lied. He said something that is not true. That is the definition of a liar. Jesus, that man over there is a liar. Get away from him. And they walked away. Evidence to prove that he was wrong. It's according to the Bible. It's right there. Read it. Oh, man. Friends, the message can be taken and proven anything you want to prove. And the Bible is the same way. And you can prove Brother Branham was false. You can prove the Bible is false. You can prove Jesus was a hypocrite. Can I prove to you that Jesus was a hypocrite? You don't think I can, do you, Brother Paul? He said, I come to fulfill the law, not destroy it. Well, what about what there? He just said, drink my blood. That's fulfilling the law? Oh, I don't think so. Jesus, you who are going to fulfill the law, your disciples are shucking corn and eating it on the Sabbath day. That is against the law. Yeah, I'm okay with that. You said you're fulfilling the law and now you're breaking the law? You're a hypocrite because you're doing something different than you said. I have a point for all this. Just hang on a little bit. So where is your absolute then? And then when everyone had walked away except 12 people standing there not understanding at all what he's saying, can you imagine what was going through their minds? What have I got involved in? Oh my goodness, this guy, he sounds crazy. What's he talking about? John, what's he talking about? I don't know, Peter. What do you think? I don't know. Should we leave? Well, that's what's going through their mind, friends. That's what goes through your mind sometime around this message when you see things that just don't make any sense. What am I mixed up in here? But Jesus asked him, what, you all want to go too? And what came out of Peter's mouth? The same thing that comes out of your mouth if someone said, why don't you leave the message? Where would I go? Where am I going to turn to? This is where God has brought me. This is what God doing in my life. And I can't explain that, and I can't explain that. And you can say all you want, but I do have an absolute, and that is I know that something is happening here through the preaching of the message of this hour. And all those things I can't understand, I don't even care. Because when I need to know more about the seven thunders, God will reveal it to me. When I need to more know about this mystery or whatever, God will bring me to that and reveal it to me as he decides to. Because he alone is the revealer of the word. He is sovereign, and no man can reveal the word to you. The prophet can't, your pastor can't, your daddy can't. Nobody can reveal the word to you except Jesus Christ himself. And that is your absolute, because you know what he is revealing to you, and you're standing on that solid rock, because the revelation of Christ is the very foundation. If you're standing on something else besides the revelation of the word, you're on shaky ground. That's why all the religious actions you can do are not a good foundation, because you can shout and scream and preach and heal and raise the dead. You can do all these kind of things, every sensation. But if you're not standing on the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, you're still on sinking sand. But if you had that revelation and that's where you're standing, everything else comes with it. But don't get yourself turned upside down. It's got to start with the revelation of the word to you personally. And then he adds to that all the rest of the things he wants you to do. But if your absolute is, well, I believe Brother Branham. Brother Branham made a lot of mistakes. He was a human being. Your absolute isn't a human being. There's only one human being that you should have your absolute, your confidence in. That was Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Don't put your confidence in a minister. Don't put it in me. Don't put it in Brother Jerry, don't Brother Branham, or any other minister. You put in the revealed word that Jesus Christ is speaking through that ministry to you. Let me give you another testimony. Several years ago, you might not remember this message, but Brother Jerry, he got up, he preached, "Stop looking at your flesh." And I was sitting right over there. I remember it so clearly. And usually when God speaks to me, it's like a still small voice, just something, just a little something in there. He speaks, oh, yes, I heard a voice. It wasn't like that this time. It was like God was standing right over here in my face with his finger in my face and saying, "Stop looking at your flesh." The entire message. You know how sometimes ministers, you get off a little bit here and you're preaching, you get off here. He never got off that thought the entire time. He was the entire message. He said, and he was up there preaching. He probably didn't know the effect it was having, but it was like the Holy Spirit was right in my face and my hair was blowing straight back, so to speak. Heard that. I remember that because I know it was God speaking to me. And you know why he had to do it that way? Because I had been raised in such an atmosphere of religious legalism that I was still judging my walk by how many mistakes I made. And he was saying, "Stop doing that. I'm tired of telling you." And every time I start leaning back that way, you know what he does? He reminds me of, "Didn't I tell you? I told you." And it gives me faith to get up, to repent, and keep going. Because I know that was the voice of God speaking. That was an absolute. I hope you all have experienced some of those things. See, you know, someone comes and say, "Well, Brother Phil, the message is wrong." You're too late. It's already happening. Who opened my blinded eyes? Who set me free from the things of the world? Who caused me, put a love in me that I love my enemies? Who has given me this change in my life? It's come through the preaching of the message of the hour. A vindicated prophet brought this message. And you can say, "Well, Brother Branham did this wrong. He had this wrong. He had this problem, all that." Go ahead. But he was still vindicated by God. And so you can look at all this peripheral stuff and say it's not right. I'm going to say, but my absolute is the word that's been preached that has produced Christ in me. You can't put this light out. The Bible is full of these let me go a little bit further here. So many people want to say that the message is wrong because of all the contradictions, all the falseness, all the false prophecies, all the hypocrisy. Brother Branham lied. He did all these kind of things. You can get online and see tons of these. You can get on YouTube and say, why I left the message. There's just tons of them. And people get on there with their emotional rant and, well, I was hurt by this person or this ministry. And I couldn't care less about listening to all that stuff because it don't help. You can do the same about the Bible. Let me give you a couple of instances. Can I do that? I'm trying to shake your faith here. You all know this very well. Isaiah. Let me turn to it real quick. Isaiah 40. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Make straight in the highway, straight in the desert a highway for our God. Hang on a second. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. And we all say, that was John the Baptist. Y'all believe that, right? Jesus said it was, right? Well, I'm Brother Bob again. And I'm out there in the time of Jesus. And I'm listening to him. He said, that was John the Baptist. He fulfilled that. And I say, wait a minute. John's in jail. He needs to have a return ministry. Because he hasn't fulfilled all that. Because I go into all the mountains in Israel and I measured them, and there's not a single mountain that is an inch lower than it was. And I went to all the valleys and not one of them is any shallower than it was. And all these crooked roads around here are not made straight, and all the rough places are not made plain. And I have gone through all the deserts in Israel and I have not found one single instance where John the Baptist made a straight highway. He hasn't even made a driveway. Don't tell me he fulfilled that. It's wrong. Jesus, you're wrong. Because anyone cut his head off. He, before he could have his return ministry, he got his head cut off. So Jesus was wrong. Because none of those things happened. From a theologian point of view. What I can explain. What I can reason out amongst myself. The verse after that is even worse. Worse. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Are you going to pretend that happened? The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh, that means everybody in the world, is going to see it together. That didn't happen in John the Baptist's ministry. So Jesus lied. False. Either Isaiah was wrong, or Jesus was wrong, or John the Baptist was false. There's something wrong here. There's a discrepancy. There's contradiction in your Bible. But you sit here and you look at that and say, well, Phil, we understand what that's all about. We know how that happened. We know that was spiritually done. We understand that because why? You have the lens of many years past it to look back and say, oh, we understand now. But in the moment, before you can see the fulfillment of the scripture and you see from a distance what actually happened, what were you believing? Psalm 22. Y'all know Psalm 22. This is the crucifixion psalm, right? Let me just read a few verses from it. It starts out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why thou so far from helping me from the words of my roaring? Oh, this is what he said on Calvary when he was crucified, right? All that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he should deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. That happened on Calvary, right? People mocking him. Be not far from me, for trouble is near me. There is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouth as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and feet. This is talking about Calvary. This is talking about the death he died. Is this correct? You all understand this. You believe this is fulfilled, right? They pierced my hands and feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast saved me from the horns of the unicorns. We say, amen. That all happened that day on Calvary. By the way, that word unicorns, probably most of us don't believe in unicorns. It's another word for wild oxen. The horns of the wild oxen. We all believe this happened? We all believe this is fulfilled? Really? Where are the bulls? Where are the bulls? Where in the gospel does it talk about bulls encompassing him, surrounding him, gaping on him, ravening and roaring? You can't find it in the gospel, can you? You can't find it in any secular history either. There were no bulls on Calvary. That's false. David said there had to be bulls, and there were no bulls. Something's wrong here with your Bible. There's a contradiction. Unless you look at it from a lens of history, and you look back and say, well, yeah, the bulls were there, but it was spiritual. That was the spirit in those people trying to destroy him. The bulls were there, Phil. They were just not natural bulls. That horns and unicorns. It sounds like he was about to be gored by these wild oxen, these bulls. They were going to gore him on the horns, but he saved me from the horns. Was he about to be gored to death by a wild ox with his horns? No, it never happened. But it was the spirit in those people destroying him. We look at that and we see, now, some of that actually happened. They pierced his hands and feet. They cast lots on his vesture. His bones were out of joint. But there were no physical bulls there, were there? So does that mean it's wrong, or does it mean someone who says there had to be bulls just don't understand what's going on? Why is it written this way? Why are there so many seemingly contradictions, so many prophecies that did not come out the way you think? Because God did it that way to cause people to wonder, to question, and to walk away because he wants to weed down so he gets just his elect. So where is your absolute? Is your absolute in these written words in this Bible? Because people have said, we're just going to preach the Bible. And that's how every church you see started, just preaching the Bible. And look where they're at. Because you cannot just preach the Bible without putting your own interpretation to it. It's the revelation of the word. It's the revealed word is where your absolute must be. Can I say something that I'd hope it doesn't shake you? But if William Branham is your absolute, you are on shaky ground. He's a man. He was a man. But if you have heard the voice of God speak through the message he brought, you got something to be happy about. All right. Last Monday, I think it was, I was on YouTube. It's a great place to hang out if you want to waste tons of your time. And see a lot of filth, too, if you want to do that. And I come across some videos that Tim Humes had put out. Remember Tim Humes? He's the brother, he had a church in North Carolina, about 300 or 400 people in his church. And a couple years ago, he decided that he's not a message believer anymore. Brother Jewel Forney goes to that church, and he split off, and he started another church from the believers. Tim Humes actually said like about 200 people stayed with him. He had more confidence in the pastor than in the word. Tim, and I looked at that, and I was interested because Tim and I used to be buddies when we were young. I'd go and spend the night at his house on weekends down in southern Indiana around Jeffersonville, and we'd play basketball, and we were teenagers together. About 18 years old, he left to preach the gospel. I left to go to college. I went out in the world. He went to preach in the ministry, the gospel. Very sincere, very dedicated. You can't put a finger against him. He's my friend. I've seen him a few times over the years, not much because we're so far apart and distance and all that. And I've when he walked away, I thought, how can a man who is so dedicated, so sincere, he gave his heart to the Lord at 6 years old. How does he, after preaching this for 38 years, about turn and walk away from the message? And like I said, there's tons of these on the YouTube and on the internet about I left the message, why I left the message. You know, Jeff Jenkins put one of those out. I didn't care to listen to that. I didn't care. Has nothing to do with me. But I wanted to see what Tim Humes was saying because I know him personally. Now, I've said this in different times, even from the pulpit. I said, you know, people who leave the message and find fault with the message, they do a poor job of finding out what's wrong with it. Because you can, if you study the message at all, you can come up with all kinds of things to prove it's wrong. And no one does it right. No one does a good job. Tim did a good job. I have to give kudos to him. He did it right. He had come up with compelling evidence to prove that Brother Branham was false. And it's well done. It is. And he sets it up like a court trial where he brings all this evidence and he says, you're the jury, you have to decide. Is this true or not? You have to look at all the evidence and you have to come up with your decision. And so there's about six videos I think I saw. I listened to most of them, not all of them. And like I said, you sit there and say, oh my goodness, that looks really bad for Brother Branham. He showed where he, in his words, he lied. Plagiarized, false prophecies, hypocrite. He has all this evidence proving all this stuff is true. So I said, okay. I listened to it as a jury. And then I sat there and I said, well, Phil, what about it? Are you shaken? Are you doubting? Are you questioning? Do you think maybe I've spent my life chasing off this false ministry like Jim says he did? And so I didn't go with what was going on in my mind. The real you is the person inside here who makes the decisions. For example, a feeling comes, like I said, you know, sometimes when I'm praying that frustration comes up, I have to decide if I'm going to give into that or not. The frustration is not the real me. That fear in my mind is not the real me. That feeling that I have is not the real me. It's how I react. The person who decides how to react to that feeling is the real me. So don't get, you know, Satan says, well, you're thinking that, you're doing that, you want to do that, all that's in your mind. Go down into your heart and see what's really there. Who's making the choice of the decisions down there? Do you believe or do you doubt? So I sat there still. I said, well, Phil, what's going on? Are you shaken by this? And I just held still. I just kind of let whatever was inside of me come out. I wasn't shaken one iota. It didn't concern me. I wasn't afraid. I was like, I don't care what Tim said. But why? All that evidence proving Brother Branham is false. How can you look at that and just ignore it? So I asked myself, well, why? What makes you so solid? Why are you not shaking? Why are you not like, well, I got to find out about this. I got to chase this down. I wonder if this is you. Oh, my goodness, what should I do? I've been just. And so I sat there and just let whatever was in come out. And it was because what I've been preaching today, because there was an absolute inside that God has done this in my life. Brother Branham didn't do it. Brother Jerry, brother whoever else didn't do this. God has done this in my heart. And he's the one who brought me to this. And he's going to promise to take me the rest of the way. So it's my absolute was the revealed word that God is doing in my life and proving to myself he identified who I was. Everything else is shaky ground, friends. Please don't get me wrong. Don't think, well, I believe the prophet was a liar and all that. I don't believe that, friends. Because just like I can prove in the Bible that there is false prophecies, you can prove anything about the prophet you want. And with that being said, the prophet did contradict himself. He did change the things he said. And like I said, you can prove all kinds of things wrong like Tim does. But are you looking at the man? Or are you looking at the Christ that he preached? Is it having the effect in you that it's supposed to have in a believer? That's the question. Is this message bringing you to a Christ-like spirit? Is this bringing you to a union with Christ? Or is it just making you religious and you're just based on this doctrine you believe or that good works you're doing? Like I said a minute ago, Tim, love you, buddy, but you are too late. this message has already produced Christ in me. And once Christ is being produced, he's not going to stop. Well, I thought I would call you, Phil, but you know, I chose you, but I decided to change my mind. I'm just going to leave you. He can't do that. All that the Father has given him will come, and he will not lose a one. And so when it's been revealed to you that he chose you, you didn't choose him, and the Father has given you to him, then all you have to do is stand on that revelation. It's got to be revealed. It can't be just a quote you quote, but it's got to be something that God comes to you personally and tells you, I have chose you. Start believing that. It's not a quote. It's not a scripture. It's a reality. It's been told to you personally, individually. Jesus Christ himself has come to you and told you who you are. That's your absolute. How do you know? Because God told me who I am. The prophet can call me out. The prophet can tell me this. And Brother Jerry and Brother Donnie and all the other brothers. But God has to tell me. And he uses a ministry to do it. Well, what if the ministry is wrong? That ain't my problem. My problem is to listen for the voice of God, because Jerry Bell was here for a while, and he was not born again. He left the message, but God used his ministry to keep me here until a better Matt pastor would come. He spoke through that man, and all I had to do was have confidence that I was here because God put me here. It doesn't matter that person. Now, you got to sit under a born-again pastor. Don't get me wrong. If you're going to go in the rapture, you do. I mean, you don't have to. Only if you're interested in the rapture. But don't look at the flesh. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone does things we don't agree with. Everyone tries to. Some of you old timers, remember when Jerry Bell was going to do a whole series on the seals, and he's going to just take it? And I've never seen anyone, I don't think, in the message, any message preacher, who was more precise about studying something out. He was incredibly gifted. You know what I'm talking about. He could take something and just break it down and just little by little and just take you through it and just so plain, just lay it out there. I've never seen anyone who could do it that well. I'm sure there's others, but I just haven't seen them. And so he said, before we go through the seals, we got to take Daniel 70 weeks and go through that, because that's going to set us up to go through the seals. We have to see Daniel 70 weeks before you can get into the seals. So he said, we're going to go for, there's four messages, I think. Brother Branham preached a series on Daniel 70 weeks. So we're going to go through that little by little, and then we're going to get to the seals. So he started preaching Daniel 70 weeks. You remember this, Brother Paul? Not really. He got about three or four messages into this, and he stalled. And he get up, he said, I can't make it work. I can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense. And he would buy books. He went to libraries. He looked at calendars. He was spending 24 hours a day almost researching, trying to figure out what Brother Branham meant when he was preaching Daniel 70 weeks. It got so bad, so stressed, he broke out in hives. Miserable. Trying to figure out, trying to understand what the prophet was talking about, and he couldn't make it make sense. Finally, he came one night, I think it was a Wednesday night, and he was a different person. Because you could see he was just physically and mentally, it was just draining him. He came and he had a different person, he just different spirit. He said, God, show me. He said, quit trying to figure this out. It's by revelation. And if he doesn't reveal it to you, you can't understand it anyways. I've read 70 weeks, you know, that totally confused me. I don't understand what he's saying. Well, every word, Brother Phil, every word has to be with it. Yeah, it is what God reveals to you. If God wants to show me something about the 70 weeks, he'll take me there and show it to me. He'll lead me to that place. He'll open it to me, and I'll see it plain. The cloud seems to be the biggest controversy what people have to say Brother Branham was false. Tim Humes just tears into that. He very well put in there just proving that the prophet was wrong about the cloud. There's nothing to it. Very good evidence, if you believe it. But you remember when Brother Branham first saw the picture of the cloud? He was looking at it. He said, there's something about this. There's something about this. He couldn't quite figure it out. And the Holy Spirit said, turn it right. He said, what do you mean? I'm looking at it right. No, turn. He said, turn right or something like that. He said, he didn't understand. Oh, turn the picture right. And as soon as he turned it, there was Christ staring back at him. How would you like to be that person who's walked away from the message because of the cloud, and one day God says, turn it right. And he opens up something we haven't seen about the cloud yet. And all of a sudden, oh, I didn't recognize. I didn't know that, because it's just a simple little revelation away. Is that going to happen? I don't know. Well, how would you like to be that person who had rejected the message because they didn't understand the cloud? They didn't understand this prophecy. They didn't understand. And they said, well, Brother Branham said this is going to happen, and it didn't happen. Tim talks much about that prophecy that Brother Branham said to Billy Paul, that you will be a young man before, still a young man when sharks are swimming across this street or something like that. You ever heard about that? It's not in the message. It's just something he said to Billy Paul. And he just tears that up, how that was false. It never happened because Billy Paul's an old man and there's no sharks swimming around that street. Well, let's throw away the message then, right? Because we didn't see that happen the way that Billy Paul said he said. Does that shake you? If it does, friends, you have the wrong absolute. You have something that needs to be shaken off. If you look at the message and you can't recognize God called me to this, he's kept me here, he's changing me through the preaching of the message of the hour. If you cannot recognize that this is God working your life, then you need to be shaken to get to the point where you know this is God doing this work. And then if it is him, why do we get discouraged? Why are we looking at other people? You know something about when I was talking about when God spoke to me about not looking at your flesh. You know what also he's saying? He said, stop looking at other people's flesh too. Stop judging someone by how they're acting, whatever. See the Christ in them. So, I looked and said, why was I not shaken? It's because my absolute was the revealed word. Not a man, not a spoken, not something that this person said or even the prophet said, but the word when it becomes real to me, producing Christ. So then the next question I had come up in mind, I said, well, where would you go? Am I out of time? Oh, I'm way past time. I'm sorry. Where would you go? If you were to leave the message, what church would you go to? Well, I'd go to church where they just preach the Bible. Well, stay right here then, because all we do is preach the Bible. People want to make the message in the Bible two different things. The message of the hour is nothing but the interpretation of the word for this day straight out of the Bible. You can't separate them. And when you try to separate them, you're taking away the light of this day from the Bible, and you're putting your own interpretation to it. And all you're doing is trading Brother Branham's interpretation for your own. And it wasn't Brother Branham's interpretation anyways. It was God's interpretation. Because God sends a messenger to every age to straighten it out for that age. And Brother Branham brought the message to tie all the loose ends together, all that all these other people had, all the truth from everybody else, and you tie it together, and that was the truth of this age. He wasn't plagiarizing other people. He was just taking what they said that was truth and what this person said that was truth. And it was God revealing it. This is right. This is right. And he put it all together. And then we have the message of the hour. And if you will believe it because God reveals it to you, you'll go in a rapture. If you don't, you are not going in a rapture. I don't care how holy or how back to the Bible you think you are. What church would you go to? Look, he said, every church out there, like I said, it started by just let's just go back to the Bible. Let's just believe the Bible. And we have lesbian atheist pastors. We have Buddhist pastors in Christian churches. Anything, any filthy thing you can think of, that's what has come by people just taking the Bible and interpreting it the way they want to. Until they don't even believe the Bible. They'll tell you, yeah, we don't believe the Bible. That's nothing to do with it. We're Christians, but we don't believe the Bible. We don't believe in a Jesus Christ. We don't. What makes you a Christian? You're just a social group of miserable people. Friday morning, I was on my way to work. And I was pondering these things, God came to me in my car and spoke to me. He said, see what has happened? This whole thing with Tim's videos and all, what has it done for you? It has only made you stronger. Because it has helped you identify who your absolute really is. You only can be a Christian as God identifies himself in you. He identified himself that I'm a believer. Because my confidence, my absolute, was in the revealed word that he is speaking to me, that he is changing me. That little voice that spoke to me changed me right there. I'm a different person right now than I was on the way to work Friday morning. By the time I got to work, I was already a different person because that's a revelation that changed me. And even from now, from then to now, I still know that I'm a different person. Just a little bit, what it was just more confidence, more faith to believe who I am. He said, well, you already knew you're a believer. Yeah, of course. But what did Brother Branham said? When the bride knows who she is, then the rapture goes, right? And so, friends, what we need to do, we have to have constant revelation, little by little, word upon word, from glory to glory, as we recognize more and more who we are, as our faith is strengthened, and because we know who we are, and then we have that faith that builds up to rapturing faith because we keep seeing the word being formed in us, creating Christ. That's what it means to be a believer. It's not, well, I got the Holy Ghost, I'm going to sit in my pew until the rapture comes. You'll be sitting on the pew after the rapture goes. Because it's got to be a constant, it's your relationship with Christ. It constantly grows. You have to keep listening for his voice. It's not, well, I got to a place, I got it figured out. I got to a place, I'm living good enough. I got to a place where I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. No, it's your relationship constantly building with Christ. He's showing more and more and more. He tells you who you are, the more you believe it. Satan brings all this evidence against you and says, yeah, but you're following something wrong. You're wrong here. You're wrong here. And so you look at Satan's evidence and you look at God's evidence and now you make your choice. Who do you believe? What is happening in your life? By saying that Brother Tim Humes said all these things proving Brother Branham was wrong, does that shake your confidence? Does it shake your confidence in Brother Branham? Does it shake your confidence in Christ? Mine either. Let's stand.
Satan tried to bring something against me this week to shake my confidence, to cause me to wonder, to weaken me in my faith. And God turned around and strengthened me. That's the way troubles and tests and trials usually happen, isn't it? If you will just allow God to do it, he will come and he'll strengthen you through these things. It's amazing the way he does things because you look at that, well, I could have been all tore up. But I just relaxed and let God prove. I said, you tell me who I am. And if you just sit back some time and say, you're not a believer. You're not going in the rapture. You're a Judas. Okay, prove it. Satan's saying one thing, God's saying something else. I'm going to believe what God said. And then if I do that, he can prove what is true or not. Look, Jesus chose Judas, right? Brother Branham talked about Judas being a make-believer because when Jesus turned to the 12 and said, will you go too? And Peter said, where would you go? You have the words of life. And Jesus said, I chose you. Don't take credit to yourself. And by the way, one of you is a devil. Judas stuck around. Brother Branham said that make-believer will stick around to the very end until they find something wrong. And I'm not calling Tim Humes a Judas. I'm not gonna label him or anything. But he stuck around until he found something that was wrong enough that he identified as wrong, so he walked away. I have to read one more scripture. Didn't mean to stand you up and then keep you standing, but. Behold, all ye that, this is Isaiah 50:11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire. What's he saying? He said, all those of you who don't want to walk in my light, all those of you who don't want to walk in the message of the hour, what I am vindicating, go ahead and build your own fire. Start your own church. Start your own movement. Give your own interpretation to the word. You figure it out for yourself. Walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have in mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. There isn't a single born-again person on the earth that wants to see someone fulfill that scripture. No one wants to see these people fall away. No one wants to see these people go out and leave the message and be perverted away from it for whatever reason and have these things, these people come up and talk them out of it and walk away. No one wants to see anything happen, but it's got to. Jesus did not get any joy of watching those people walking away from him. He didn't say, yeah, go ahead, bunch of liars, bunch of unbelievers. Remember, he was over Jerusalem. He was crying, weeping over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, how I would have hovered you, but you would not. It gives us no pleasure. It gives me no pleasure to see Tim Humes doing what he's doing. He's my friend. If I saw him now, I'd want to hug him and say, I love you, buddy. But you got to stand for what God is doing. You have to keep your absolute. You have to recognize the absolute that is changing your life that you are standing on. You have to acknowledge that. And if everyone falls away from you, you just still got to do it because you know what God is doing in your life. Amen. Amen. I believe that. I'm going to make a recommendation. Don't go listen to Tim Humes. Don't go look this stuff up. It's not going to help you.
That's right.
And it'll be something, ammunition Satan can use against you.
That's right.
To try to get you to disbelieve. Mm-hmm. Just let it alone. That's just my recommendation. If you want to go on, if the Holy Spirit leads you to do it, go ahead. Yeah. Brother Jim was talking to me. He listened to somebody. He said, I wish I had never listened to that. Because it gets you in your head. Don't give Satan more ammunition than he has to. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you would come and just speak to us. Lord, I just pray that the word was pleasing to you. If it wasn't, then just close people's ears to forget it. But Lord, if it was from you, which I believe it was, then let it have the effect that you wanted it to have. Lord, speak to each one. Just help us, Lord, to surrender our will to you or surrender our own thoughts and not be a theologian, not be trying to figure this out by putting quotes together and putting our doctrines together just right, but just letting you come and reveal yourself so that we are not a quoter, but we're a liver of the quotes. We are a manifestation of the word instead of just talking about it. Just a religious person. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. Will you come and just watch over us, bless us this afternoon as we go of our ways and keep us safe, Lord. And Lord, just bring us back next time we're to be together, Lord, just in the right spirit, just stronger than we are now. We ask this in your name. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. Mm-hmm.